T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mm-hmm. On the line with us from TheAthletic.com. There's nobody, Al, he does both sports. I didn't even get a little Sixers in here. Mm-hmm. Mr. Shiel Kapadi is with us. Hi, Shiel.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Shiel, was it a dark day for the NFL because of what happened in New Orleans?
I don't think it was a dark day. I mean, it was a terrible call. It will be what dominates discussion today. But I think when you sit back, I can't remember a more wildly entertaining championship weekend. Both games go into overtime. They had crazy calls. They had tremendous individual performances. So the league's got an officiating issue. We know this. We'll see if this game in the spotlight makes them address some of these things in the offseason. But I think overall the NFL is not feeling very uncomfortable today.
All right. See, that's the irony of it, Shiel, because they do have this monster controversy, but it will only feed the monster, right? There'll be even more interest because so many people are talking about what happened in New Orleans.
It'll dominate conversation this week up to the Super Bowl. Then they'll have that fancy owners meetings in March where the competition committee will get together. It'll be back in the news cycle. It's just like there's nothing they can do that will make people lose interest.
All right, Gio, how does a call, or in that case a non-call, like that happen?
Man, I wish I had an answer. I have no idea. We all saw it live. The players saw it live. The coaches saw it live. You see the replay. You know, what I think they're going to end up doing is making that a reviewable call. Right now, that cannot be reviewed by replay. But I think when you look at that, when it's so obvious like that, if you take a second, if you have someone from New York look at it, I think in the future that will be something that's reviewable. Because pass interference, that swings games. I mean, this isn't just one game. Normally, it's the other way where they call a ticky-tack pass interference, and then that ends up swinging a game. But this isn't like a 5-yard call. You know, this ends up usually being a 15, 20, 25-yard call, and it swings games. So I think pass interference, they need to start making that a reviewable penalty.
Shia, I think a lot of people are agreeing based on what we have seen this season with it. But people that have been critical of the NFL and of their officiating are using what happened yesterday as a launching pad to really say that this has become a crisis. Even Ray Didinger said it earlier in the show. Shiel, has it reached a crisis level now, the officiating in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to absolutely do something to address it. Think about the legacies that are affected by that one call. Now, the Saints are doing a lot of whining, and they did have the ball back first in overtime. So I think if you're, you know, you got to kind of get that, you got to put that behind you, and you have to say, all right, let's go and win the game. Instead, they focused all the way on that call, and I think it probably cost them. But yeah, there are, you know, whether it's Drew Brees or Sean Payton or fans who had the trips playing to Atlanta. I mean, I can't imagine. I was thinking if that happened in the city, you wouldn't have to talk about a single other thing the entire offseason.
No, you're right. Shiel, it would be the ultimate. But you made the best point of the whole morning. Al, do you realize Brees was in exactly the same spot as Brady?
Yeah.
He had the ball leading. Yeah, they got screwed. But he's Brees. Take him down and win the game. Well, instead, he turns the ball
he's
over.
Also got a coach that if it happens to Belichick, move on to the next play. I think they were rattled.
All right, so wait a minute. You're telling me, Al, that Sean Payton on the sideline.
I think his emotion.
Arguing 5 plays later about the missed call.
I mean, you can
wow.
Get over that play.
Right.
Throw whatever you have to fit, but let it go.
Shiel, do you think that's a factor? You're right. Brees could have just driven him down, scored a touchdown, and won.
I 100% agree with Al. I mean, you can read Sean Payton's lips, and he says, what did he say? That's a Super Bowl-changing call right there.
Yeah.
And right after that, they gave up a 45-yard drive to let the Rams tie it. I mean, the Rams were down 3 with 1:41 left in that game. They come back. They tie the game. The Saints get the ball first in overtime. They turn it over, and then the Rams win on the field goal. So they had opportunities to win that game. I think Al's right. You know, I think the right coaching move there, and it's got to be difficult to separate yourself from the emotion, but you got to get it out of your system within 60 seconds and then gather everyone together and say, you know, forget about that, move on. We still have a chance to win this game and go to the Super Bowl. I think it was obvious that Sean Payton did not do that in that game.
I know, Sheil. I have learned something about myself so far on this show. I lack character, right? I really the
Sheil's laughing because he knows that already.
Well, I know he does, but I wasn't.
Happened today, Angelo.
My reaction to these two games indicate a lack of character. Sheil, how should fans in this city feel about Andy Reid failing again at the championship game? Should we feel sympathy? What emotion should we have today about Reid?
Well, everyone's free to feel however they want. I think there are a lot of fans, though, that will feel sympathy. And I think what Jonesy had just said previously is true. And I think this was the year everything was set up for Andy. There's no juggernaut in the NFL. You have home field throughout. This is not the best Patriots team. I think they're better than whoever came out of the NFC. And they still lost this game. And I don't think this was a classic sort of Andy Reid comes up short in the playoffs type game like we saw against Tampa and Carolina. I mean, they battled back. They scored 24 points in the fourth quarter. It was all there for them, and they still lost. So now, I mean, 1-5 in NFC championship games, 3 of those at home, 3 of those as the favorite. I felt like going into yesterday, I thought if it doesn't happen for Andy this week, I don't know that it's ever going to happen for him. And lo and behold, it did not happen for him.
All right, I'm going to get off this because I'm getting misty-eyed. Uh-huh. But I want to move over to the Sixers for a minute, Sheil, because before those two great games yesterday, and they were tremendous sports entertainment, Saturday, the Sixers game against the Thunder was also an amazing basketball game. Best game of the year so far, Sheil?
I think so, yeah. It was great.
All right, here's what I want to know. Really, there's a lot we could talk about, but it really only comes down to the last sequence.
Yep.
Where Jimmy Butler, who wasn't even having a good game, Jimmy Butler makes the big steal, gets the basket, then on the next possession fouls Paul George for a 4-point play, and then on the final possession is the only person they're looking to give the ball. Sheil, he's only been here a month. He's the only guy they look to in the final seconds of a tight game?
Yeah, I mean that was that last sequence. I think what happens there, and Ben Simmons had overall a great game, but yep. In that position, it's so tough to have him bring the ball up and setting up the offense. You know, I know people are saying, hey, you should have taken the ball right to the rim. They're going to foul him there, and you're down by two. And what are the chances he makes both those free throws? So you only have 5 seconds. They run this dribble handoff. Butler doesn't get a great shot off. They're just in a very tough situation down the stretch when one of your best players is a guy who's not a primary scorer and not a guy who can go to the free throw line with any type of comfort. So,
wait a minute. Why is he bringing the ball up?
That's the question.
Why is he bringing the ball up? That's a coaching decision. If he can't shoot the three and he's not going to drive because they're going to foul him,
hands.
Why am I putting the ball in his hands?
I think that's absolutely a fair question. I know Simmons can get the ball up faster than anyone, and you only have 5 seconds. But, yeah, why doesn't Butler bring the ball up? Maybe you let him just create a shot for himself before somebody else. If you're going to run a dribble handoff, maybe you do it with him and J.J. Redick, somebody else who's capable of scoring in that situation. Because I do think it just puts you at quite a disadvantage in that spot with Simmons having the ball in his hands.
Well, that raises a more general question. Do you think Brett Brown is a good tactician?
You know what? He had actually, I thought, one of his finer moments the previous play where he chose to trap the Thunder in that key spot. They come up with the steal and Jimmy Butler scores. You know, I kind of think there are pluses and minuses with Brett Brown. Is he a great tactician? I don't know. We didn't see that in the playoffs last year. I think there are things he does better than others. And then I think you're just in a tough spot when one of your best players there is a guy who can't score and can't go to the free throw line.
I'm going to tell you, I don't think he's a good tactician. Paul George was the only one who was getting the ball for that last shot. Westbrook had fouled out. Now, they didn't have any other options. I got to not make I can't give George the ball at all because he'll launch. It was a great shot.
Yeah.
Butler was all over him, obviously. Sheil, that's another mistake. Don't deny George the ball. Give it to somebody else.
Yeah, if you watch out, J.J. Redick there was guarding the inbounder. I mean, they were trying to defend whatever throw was going down into the corner rather than George coming off the screen and getting the ball there at the top of the key beyond the three-point line. So I think you're right. I mean, everyone know he was the primary threat. He was fantastic in that game and specifically down the stretch. And it wasn't an easy shot, but, yeah, I think there should have been a little more attention paid to him in that spot, make somebody else beat you there.
One last thing, Sheil, on the Sixers. clearly a big controversy last week, Thursday night, about the fact that they were playing Joel Embiid when he was clearly in pain. Now, he did play Saturday, to their credit. But, Sheil, are they giving too much power to Embiid about his own availability now? Are they making him decide what to do rather than the doctors or the coach or anyone else?
I mean, I always have a tough time with this because if the guy says he can play and you feel like he's at no risk for further injury and he scored, what, 31 points with the bad back, then, you know, I don't have a huge issue with it. Now, I think you have to be as cautious as possible with this guy, with his history. We know, I mean, before last season, I remember being at the practice where he's being asked, you know, you're going to be on a minutes restriction. How do you feel about this? And he's just going off on the team, and that was before the opener. So some of these guys, you have to protect them from themselves. So if they feel like he can't do any further damage to it, then I have no issue with it. But if they're not doing everything in their power to make sure they're being as conservative and as cautious as possible, then, yes, they're open to criticism there.
The great Sheil Kapadia, TheAthletic.com. Sheil, you're awesome. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
So there you have it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.